Inspired Parenting Radio Show with host Sandy Sedgebeer, where our mission is to inspire conscious parents, families, and educators by bringing you the latest research and thinking on supporting today's highly evolved children to fulfill their potential as healthy, confident, resourceful, and emotionally intelligent individuals.
Hello, you're listening to the Inspired Parenting Radio Show. I'm your host, Sandy Sedgebeer, and today we're going to be discussing what it means to be a mother and to be family. And I'd like to start off by reading a small excerpt from an article written by my guest today, Kimberly Smythe. Kimberly wrote, "I gave birth to my first baby 38 years ago when I was barely 17. Her father wasn't at the birth. He didn't know that his ex-girlfriend was pregnant. I didn't tell him. I had convinced myself that it was better that way, that my baby was mine alone. She was proof that I was flawed. So I did what I thought I had to do at the time. I gave her up for adoption. The year was 1977. When she was 18, my first child and I were reunited." On hearing that last sentence, many people might imagine an emotional reunion in which mother and daughter fall into each other's arms and then very likely live happily ever after. But the truth is, while such scenarios are not uncommon on daytime television or Oprah-style talk shows, we rarely get to see what happens after the cameras stop rolling. Some reunions are successful. Some, like the one between today's guest, Kimberly Smythe, and her firstborn daughter, Kelsey, are more dramatic and complex. Motherhood ranks as the oldest profession in the world. Motherhood is also something about which we seem made a mistake, and you were 16, and as your book tells, you got pregnant, you didn't tell the father because you believed you were a bad girl and that pregnancy was your punishment, not his. So you told a lie and broke up with him, and you didn't tell your parents either. And when they inevitably found out, you panicked and told another lie, one that haunted you for 18 years. Tell us a little bit about that experience and what it was like for a 16-year-old girl.
Wow. Well, I think if anyone looks back at where they were at 16, they can kind of empathize with me. I think when you're young, you kind of look at life as, you know, the parameters that life has given you thus far. And I didn't know how to deal with breaking the rules and getting in trouble, as it were. So I kind of ran really quickly into the world of denial for quite some time, and really paradoxical time, really, when I think about it, because not only was I in denial, but, I mean, how do you deny a pregnancy? It was a very interesting to look back at those days and realize I had no tools. I had no real ability to make very wise decisions. So I made the decisions a 16, 17-year-old kid would make. And I told a big old lie. So I thought I was saving my boyfriend, whom I loved. And I didn't want my parents to have those looks and feelings of the parents of the child that got in trouble, as it were. And so obviously, I kind of was the big mystery. I went away to have my child, and it was a crazy time, but for sure.
And now, as time went on, you met somebody else, you got married, you had three children, and then as your life progressed, you began to think about your daughter Kelsey that you'd given up. And on her 18th birthday, you write about how you wanted to find her, and you did. What was that like?
Well, 18 years is a really, really long time to wonder how your daughter has fared. There's different ways of not being around for your kid's growth, and I'm not alone in wondering and wanting to know. I'm sure there's lots of different ways of separation from your children, and we you know, I sent a notice out to the state, and they said they would look for her and they would send a letter to her. So they would send on a letter to her. So that's how it worked.
Wow. And what did your family do when you told them about your daughter?
Well, they did. Well, my kids, my immediate family, my husband knew I had a child when I was young, but my kids didn't know till right before I thought I might meet her. So they were, probably 8, 10, and 12. And, yeah, we sat them down and told them about the sister that they didn't know. And that was a difficult thing for me to have to come clean, I guess it is, with my children. Yeah, it was difficult, but it was also true, and it was good because it set the record straight, and they were able to meet her shortly thereafter.
Now, you told a lie to your parents as well, hadn't you, about the father of the child, and you had to come clean about that when they were going to meet your daughter 18 years later. Tell us briefly before the break how they responded to that.
Oh, that's a big one.
Well, we're going over to the break now. You're okay. Listening to the Inspired Parenting Radio Show. My guest is Kimberly Smythe, author of the book Letting Go Again. After the break, Kimberly will tell us what happened when she reconnected with her daughter. We'll be back in a few moments, so do stay tuned.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, OM Times Radio, IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Live with Medium Lisa Phoenix, Mediumship Messages and Musings, explores mediumship and all things metaphysical. Lisa Phoenix invites you to reach above and beyond your everyday experiences to explore new dimensions in the spirit world. She will do live readings to connect callers to their loved ones in spirit, shares engaging stories and teachings from her own personal experience, and will have intriguing conversations with other mediums, spiritual teachers, and healers to help you understand the metaphysical world so you can connect to these forces in your day-to-day life. Join your host on this magical and metaphysical journey into the world of spirit every Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time.
Hello, I'm Miriam Knight of New Consciousness Review, inviting you to my new show where I interview the rising stars of the conscious awakening. We'll explore the many faces of consciousness in action and intriguing perspectives on life, the universe, and everything in between. Join us each Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern on the Rising Stars Show.
As difficult as it is to believe, there are places in Africa where human traffickers sell albino children and their body parts for use in magic rituals. Humanity Healing International is actively working in Uganda to change this paradigm. The Albino Rescue Project finds albino children who are at risk and places them in safe schools and environments where they can learn and grow free from fear. To learn more or to sponsor a child, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is. The Real Conscious Connection. OM Times Radio, IOM FM.
Welcome back to the Inspired Parenting Radio Show. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, and my guest is Kimberly Smythe, author of the book Letting Go Again, A Birth Mother's Tale of Adoption, Reunion, Separation, and Growth. Kim, you were telling us before the break about how you had to break the news to your parents that you had lied to them about the father of your child. How difficult was that?
Wow, that was, like I said before, it was a big one. I actually sent them a letter. I had thought through the years to have told them, but something about they're not having any opportunity to, you know, see their grandchild. That kind of kept me away from that. I thought if I waited till possibly I would meet her, then it would be easier for them. You know, knowing that shortly, gosh, that's big news, and wow, that's a lot to take in. But maybe the idea of having the opportunity to get to know her would have softened that. So, yeah, I told them probably a few months before I actually met her. So,
and what was it like when you met her? Was it everything that everybody imagines such a reunion might be?
You know, it really was. It was my intentions in getting a hold of her were that I was going to sit back and wait for her to kind of say how much, if anything, she wants to have to do with me. And as it turns out, she became ill, and my dream of having a happy and healthy child was not available for me. So instead of sitting back and waiting for her, I kind of decided I needed to find out what was going on with her. So I went to her, and I just parked myself in the hotel room and said, please call me if you want to meet me. I need to know what's going on with you. And she and her parents, we all went out to lunch, and her illness was something that was fixable, and they just found out what was going on with her, and it was awesome. They showed me pictures, and they told me stories, and I felt a big allowing and opening with them, and so I was very hopeful when I first met her.
You wrote that in retrospect you think you were a bit naive. You imagined that you could all become one wonderful big family, and that didn't quite happen.
Yeah. Well, as it turns out, a good portion of my life was spent in Hawaii, and I found out that she also grew up in Hawaii, and in Hawaii, there's a big idea of family, a big heart around that idea of ohana, and I was really hopeful that she had taken that into the way she knew a family. And so, yeah, in retrospect, I think I was probably trying to give her something she really didn't need in knowing her natural family. So,
are you saying that you think you tried too hard?
Well, knowing, being, feeling alone in the world was a big problem for me. It was how I lived my life. I lived a lot of my life in my head. And I think when you meet somebody who's related to you, who doesn't know your family, that was a big thing for me to open up my whole life to her so that she would know that at least this is a small piece of the puzzle for her. But you know, she didn't put too much energy into that. I was always the one that was asking, you know, do you want to do this? Do you want to meet these people? And she was always very happy to do that. But I, you know, in retrospect, I think I probably should have taken note that, you know, she didn't really say, hey, I want to meet these people. So
she was reactive rather than proactive.
Yeah, exactly. And she was young, you know, I mean, she was 18 and, you know, when I first met her, and I trudged her around to all the people that I was related to and just kind of said, hey, this is her, you know, this is my daughter. And she was always up for it. I think she was kind of amused by the whole thing, but she had her family, and, you know, her mom passed away a year and a half after I met her, and that played into my wanting her to have some other sense of family. And I think after her mom died, I was very aware that it might be tougher now between she and I, but I thought, well, maybe she might feel an opening with my sisters or brothers, or, you know, if she needed that sense of family from our grouping or whatever you want to call it, then I wanted to give her an opportunity for that.
Once you reunited and you'd met her parents, did you feel, I mean, how did that make you feel? Did you feel pleased? Did you feel in competition in any way? Did you feel a little bit envious that they'd had all that time with her?
No, I was really just happy they said yes. And as it turned out, I moved away from Hawaii shortly after meeting her, probably 3 years after meeting her. And so there was, after her mom passed away, and her father was still there. So there was a lot of miles between us, and I was kind of on the way to college and back. So kind of lended to just a little more of a hop on the, her way back and forth to college. So I was on my own at 19. Once again, you pull from what you know, and I probably should have given more thought to how this was affecting her father, especially because he was the primary one for most of our relationship. I did feel a little bit of pull back from him. I tried to call him and that kind of thing, and I didn't really feel like that was really happening. So I just kind of said, okay, well, I'll just keep asking my daughter, and when she says yes, then I will say, okay, let's do this. So that's kind of how it went.
But as time went on, I mean, you relate in the book that the relationship began to deteriorate. There were lots of misunderstandings, and you were not necessarily in the best place at the time to be able to cope as well as maybe in retrospect you might have wished you had. And eventually the relationship began to fall apart, didn't it?
It did. It did. When I moved, my life was really exciting. My husband and I were starting a new company, and it was very stressful, but it was also an exciting chapter in our lives. And moving from Hawaii, I didn't realize I was very I was very attracted to the sun and going to a place where there was very little sun. I was very affected by the nights, long nights, and also working just with my husband's company, not doing anything as on my own, separate from all of that, started taking a toll on me. And adding to it was this relationship that I was trying to have with my daughter. And after a few years, not really feeling anything, any kind of connection that I was hoping would be there. So, yeah.
You say in the book that you later discovered that you had seasonal affective disorder. So you were really going into a kind of depressive cycle, but didn't realize it then.
Yeah, I had heard about that before, but because where we lived was a lot of sunshine during the day, it didn't occur to me. It was just the shortness of the day. So it didn't even occur to me. But yeah, I started staying home by myself and kind of becoming a recluse a little bit. So I would just work and do things that my kids needed to do. But so add on to the stress and the seasonal affect disorder, it was kind of a tough time for me.
The book is very raw and honest. I mean, you certainly don't sugarcoat your own behavior and reactions. And some people might find that rather surprising. You know, many people, if they're going to write a book about themselves, they're going to put themselves in the best possible light. You don't do that. What made you decide to publish the book?
Gosh, being a big journaler through this whole experience and getting to a place where I started eventually after going to counseling, going to different places to get help, reading books, I started getting stronger around the idea of my past and really thought it might be helpful, especially since there aren't a lot of birth mothers telling their story. So that's kind of where it started from.
Now, this book is really about your own personal experience as a birth mother, trying not too successfully to reconnect with the daughter you gave up for adoption. But there's a bigger story here, one that raises some very important questions, like what it means to be a mother and our definition of family in a society that's becoming increasingly disconnected and fragmented. At what point did this larger story become apparent to you?
Well, I think my husband and I have always had a big, broad sense of family. Even our company was, we always considered everyone family. And I think the Western world has a tendency to make the idea of family be very exclusive. It's like an exclusive club to be in the family. And so I think being not able to really connect with my daughter and wondering what that was made me really understand that it's an important thing for us to go through our own look at what family really is. And I think we need to expand that thought.
Well, let's come back to that after the break, Kim. You're listening to the Inspired Parenting Radio Show. My guest is Kimberly Smythe, author of the book Letting Go Again. After the break, Kimberly will tell us about the tools that she used to reach a place of acceptance with what is. We'll be back in a few moments, so do stay tuned.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Hi, this is Sylvia Henderson, intuitive life coach and energy healer. Are you ready to elevate and rise way above your normal? Be sure to listen to my show, Intuitive Transformations, on OM Times Radio, Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern. Get the inspiration you need to transform your life.
Join Elliot Jolish, the business therapist, each Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern for the Elliot Jolish Hour, as he interviews business experts on your behalf. And you're invited to email your business questions to questions@ecjgroup.com for answers, live, on air, every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on the Elliot Jolish Hour. Simone Millicis would like you to know that business can be fun, which is why she wrote the book Joy of Business. What if you could have the joy of business rather than the stress and struggle? Most of the time, the only thing stopping you from a thriving business is you. In the Joy of Business book, Simone gives you access consciousness tools and pragmatic ways to get out of your own way and to create the business, life, and living you know is possible and beyond what this reality says is achievable. Business is joy. It's creation. It's generative. It can be the adventure of living. You can purchase your copy of the book through Amazon or Joy of Business website, www.accessjoyofbusiness.com. Your conscious connection to a more mindful world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Inspired Parenting Show, and I'm talking with Kimberly Smythe about her book, Letting Go Again, which chronicles her experiences as a birth mother who reunited with her daughter and then had to let her go again. Kim, your book challenges a lot of perceptions about relationships and acceptance, surrender, and the true nature of love that finds the strength to let go again. You went through some very, very deep, dark experiences yourself, coming to terms with all of this. What did you do? What tools did you use to reach that place of surrender and acceptance?
Oh, surrender. Unfortunately, or fortunately, I guess, I had to kind of go to a pretty desperate place for me to realize I needed to get some help around this relationship. I kept inviting my daughter in once again, thinking that maybe she could connect to someone else in the family or, you know, be around and be part of the family. But it was taking a toll on me, and I knew it, but I thought, yeah, I can do this. I can do this. And so after literally crawling out of the back of my closet, I realized that I needed to get help. And I went to a counselor, and like I said before, I read books, but I needed something more tangible. I needed some place that would really teach me a place where I thought was impossible, which was to let go of how I felt about myself surrounding giving my child up for adoption. And slowly I went through different meditations and whatnot, and I found a teacher who I've been studying with for the last 6 years, and it has taught me a lot of tools, very practical tools, and a way of letting go of all the things that I thought I had become after that giving away of my own child. And it's taught me that the only person, the only place you can go for healing is within yourself. And I am so grateful for the journey ultimately, because it has been such an awesome experience for me.
You said that a lot of the challenges you experienced was the feelings you had about yourself, I guess the guilt, etc., thinking you were a bad person. Was it just that, or were there also expectations that you'd had of this relationship that didn't materialize? And did that add to it?
Gosh, it's just the most bizarre thing to be sitting next to your child, your own daughter, and feel so disconnected from that person. You know, it was so odd. It was so gut-wrenching, really, that... the expectations. I think really, truly, I wanted to give her what I could give her, not really taking into account what she really wanted, you know, and that was a really big lesson for me to learn, because, you know, I kept thinking, well, I have 4 years, she's in college for 4 years, how can I expand her life? How can I invite her and to do different experiences and this and that? And, you know, if we weren't going to have a relationship, then maybe that's what I can give her. But it really took a toll on me. It really, it brought up all the negativities, like you were saying, all the things that I had put on myself as a young kid and the choices that I had made. And it affected me. It affected who I was. It made me, I showed to the world a less than person that I thought I was. And it's taken me a long time to undo all of that.
You've got other children. Did you find yourself, and you've got a daughter as well, a second daughter, did you find yourself comparing, you know, the relationship that you have with your daughter that lives with you or did live with you and the one, Kelsey, that had been adopted by someone else? Did you compare those two relationships and feel the pain that your relationship with Kelsey couldn't be like the relationship you had with your other daughter?
Oh, you know, adoption does interesting things in trying to have a relationship. There's all kinds of energy that you feel between in the mix of a conversation that aren't there with the kids that you raised. I found, you know, the energies of loyalty and respect and abandonment and all the things that we weren't able to discuss amongst each other that aren't there in normal relationships. So, you know, we talked about getting counseling, and I think it may have been really helpful for us, but we tried to figure it out on our own, and there was a lot more unsaid than there were things that were said that I really think put a great strain on what could and I had hoped would have been a better relationship. So, yeah, it's an interesting and difficult bridge to build between two people that had, you know, separate experiences for a long time. Yeah,
I mean, that must have been very, very hard. Now, I said at the beginning, you know, that we have all these expectations of what a mother is supposed to be. And, you know, mothers, we have this ideology that they are infallible, they're all sacrificing. You know, they're really not human, are they? But I think we tend to judge people who give up their babies for adoption or people who harm their children. We judge them very, very harshly. Did you experience that from others who, once they knew that you'd given up a child, looked at you differently?
When I first started talking about this journey, I learned that telling people that you're a birth mother is unusual information. I don't think a lot of birth mothers want that journey to be their journey. And so what I took at first was being like, oh my gosh, they think I'm the worst person since, you know, whatever. I was like, ah, because their reactions were usually kind of like shock and they're quiet. And then I realized, you know what, that's really a big thing to place into someone's lap, because there's not a lot of birth mothers that are talking. And I think we tend to have like ideas of what that is, a birth mother, you know, and to stand up and say, this is my journey, and not maybe fill the parameters that people necessarily consider when they hear the word birth mother, was interesting. And so I had to take a step back and be a little softer with my information. And I've learned that it's opened up so many other different conversations. People tell me about all kinds of things. People that I've known for years have told me their stories of abortions or miscarriages, or, you know, their mother's adoption, or their brother's girlfriend's giving a child up. And ultimately, it's just been a wonderful opening and allowing for conversation and connection that I had no idea that I would be honored with.
Isn't it interesting how we all hide things for fear of what other people may say or think? And we don't even mention them until somebody else does. And then it all comes tumbling out. I mean, that's a sad indictment of our society and separation, is that we don't confide in one another. We don't feel that we can be honest.
Absolutely. And I'm probably the last person I would ever dream I'd be talking, you know, on the radio to Sandy Sedgebear. You know, and here I am. And I tell you what, it has opened my life more than I could have dreamed. It has given me a sense of healing in story, and it's awesome. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for being so courageous as to write this book. I mean, it truly is it's a hard and an enjoyable read too. I mean, it doesn't have the happy ending. I think, you know, very briefly, I'll just, you know, condense the story that you and Kelsey have tried on and off for a couple of decades, but you're currently not talking, or she's not talking to you, and that is because you wrote the book, which is sad. But you have come to a place of peace with that.
I have. I don't enjoy being separated from her once again, and separated from her family. It's hard, but it is what it is. And I don't think even parents that raise their children don't always have great relationships. And, you know, you can't decide who loves you and who doesn't, right? So I think I'll always be open to her calling me and talking, but at this point, she's really not real interested in that. And you know what? I'm very blessed person, and I have no complaints. So,
and you credit the tools that you've learned from your spiritual teacher with helping you to reach this place of acceptance and surrender.
Oh, absolutely! It you know everything is for a reason, and I have found that the best healing for anybody who has gone through any traumatic thing or just life in general is to find a way of letting go of all the things that you thought were you and they're not, because you can grab onto guilt and shame and all those great things that we like to put in our back pocket, but they are not us. They are not who we are. And so I think finding healing within myself was the biggest surprise of my life. And letting go of all those things I thought were mine, and looking back at that 16-year-old kid who was lost in a pain so deep that it's hard for me to even imagine going through again, and finding that her heart was in the right place was the best gift for me, to go back and forgive her and really look at her intentions, and to know that she loved her child. She wanted the best for her. And she thought, you know, being raised by a 17-year-old kid who she thought, I thought, was the worst person in the whole entire world was not
we'll
a good idea.
We'll come back to that in a moment, Kim. You're listening to the Inspired Parenting Radio Show. My guest is Kimberly Smythe, author of the book Letting Go Again. After the break, Kimberly will tell us about all of the gifts that have emerged from her experience. We'll be back in a few moments, so don't go away.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. Om Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single Om Times endeavor. Host your show with Om Times Radio Network.
Hi. This is Angela Levesque, host of Entanglement Radio. Join me Wednesdays at 12 p.m. Eastern for inspiring conversations with visionaries in spiritual science and conscious healing. Entanglement Radio, Wednesdays at 12 p.m. Eastern. Transcendent talk for the conscious mind.
Do you want to be a better communicator? Do you want to better connect with the important people in your life? Do you want to enrich your relationships? If so, join me, Matthew Cooper, on the Positive Control System Show every Wednesday evening at 11 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Om Times Radio. I'll meet you there.
The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for School Girls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is. The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Inspired Parenting Show, and I'm talking with Kimberly Smythe about her book, Letting Go Again, A Birth Mother's Tale of Adoption, Reunion, Separation, and Growth. Kim, as painful as your own experiences were, you nonetheless did manage to find many gifts in them. You've already told us about some of them, you know, the peace that you've found, the acceptance and surrender. But there's another one that has its roots in your upbringing in Hawaii. Tell us about the ancient Hawaiian practice of hanai.
Hanai is a term that the ancient Hawaiians used. It was a practice where the grandparents would often basically adopt or hanai a grandchild because there was no written language and they wanted to pass down the traditions and language directly to the grandchildren. So it was a tradition of only honoring and nurturing and allowing and love. And I just loved that spin on the idea of adoption. So
that children, I mean, a bit like Khalil Gibran says, children don't belong to any of us. They belong to all of us.
Yeah, I believe that children come through us. And I think they teach us things and we teach them things. And then we watch them blossom, hopefully, in their life. And I do believe that Western society has separated the generations, and I think it's a shame.
But the practice of hanai, I mean, you said earlier that when you first met Kelsey and her parents, you thought you would be one big happy family. And part of that wasn't naivety, that was what you'd grown up knowing, and certainly it was also what your husbands had grown up knowing, is that the family, you know, you don't have to be somebody's child to treat them or to see them as a mother or father or a child of your own, etc. So you carried that with you when you reconnected with Kelsey.
Correct. In modern days, in Hawaii, oftentimes people will say, oh, this is my hanai sister or my hanai grandma or tutu or whatever you want to say. Because hanai is kind of a modern way of including people into your ohana or your family. So, it's an honoring. It's like, I love you. I love you like a sister, and I will give you this word, and that will delineate how close you are to me, you know. So I love it.
And in a sense, that is how you feel about Kelsey. I mean, you may not have been there throughout her growing up, but you love her just the same as you would anyone else that you love dearly and you consider part of your family.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I didn't know my grandparents till I was, you know, in my 20s. So I had hoped that that could have happened with us. And like I said, I think there's a little wobble in between people when there's adoption is their story. And maybe someday we'll figure out how to take that wobble out.
Well, it would be good, wouldn't it? And one of the things that you're doing in honor of this is you've started the Hanai Foundation. Tell us about your dream, your vision for this foundation.
Hanai Foundation is a foundation that I started. All proceeds from my book, Letting Go Again, will go to the foundation. And it's going to be a place, a center. I bought a piece of land where I live, and we're going to build a center. And it's going to be a community. It's a place where community members can come and share and learn and explore all aspects of wellness. It's going to be a place where people can focus on individual well-being and family and bring in the elderly to play with the young children. That's what we're going to do in our center. So that's what I'm working on right now.
It's interesting because as we read in the book, you know, you felt separate much of your younger life growing up, and now here you are wanting to end separation between people.
I think we're a lot more similar than we are different, and I think people are getting really, really tired of all the labels and all the ways we can delineate ourselves from one another. And I think it's time for us to let go of those ideas and realize that together we are so much stronger than apart. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to this. You know, I hear great stories right now of people opening preschools in old folks' homes, and it's so awesome to see them and the smiles of the kids and the smiles over the elderly. And it's such a shame to me that we tend to do that to the wise people of our society.
We do, don't we? I mean, the elderly have so much to offer. We have also have so much to learn from the youngsters in our midst, and yet everybody is segregated from one another. I think it's a wonderful thing, the Hanai Foundation, and I know that part of your vision is that you will build a successful one there in Oregon and then start others around the country.
That's the plan. Yes, absolutely. I'm looking at architects right now, and we're going to be working on getting our center up and having meandering little paths on the ground and an open space for all the people around the land. And I'm so looking forward to it. It's going to be awesome.
You mentioned earlier that you feel there are no accidents in life. I mean, all of this has emerged out of your story. Do you think that the Hanai Foundation would have come about if you hadn't had the experience of having to give up your daughter?
Wow, that's a great question. I've never really thought of it that way. Yeah, I think we are here to do certain things, and this resonates with me, and I've learned to let go of all the regrets, because I don't think that serves us at all. I think we have to look at our choices as what we did at the time, and it was best that we could do at the time. And that's part of the forgiveness and the finding yourself back to who you really are. So, you know, I think my daughter was a shining light in her parents' life, and I know she expanded who they are, and what a beautiful story that is. So, and she's a great person, and she's living a great life, and I wish her only the best. And I have three other great kids, and I'm once again so blessed. So, looking forward to the future, and maybe our paths will meet again. But I do not regret it. I think I did the best I knew how for my daughter.
What do you want people to gain from your story, Kim?
I think it's time for us to start telling the stories that are a little uncomfortable. I think it's time for us to let go of all the secrets that we hold in our hearts, the ones that we think everyone will think differently about us after they know, because it hasn't been that way for me. I'm the first person to say, it has been, Carol Burnett? It's none of my business what people think of me, but I think people, when they dial down, we're all just trying to figure it out. And when you really think of who our hearts, we're all just love, and we all want to be accepted, and we all want to feel a sense of safety and non-judgment in our lives. And it's time for us to let all that stuff go, because it just makes everyone less than. And I think it's time for us to light our own candle and be the light that we are. And I strongly recommend people to really look at opening their hearts to one another.
Wow, that's really inspirational. I mean, that's a wonderful attitude to have after everything you've been through. And if people read the book, they will understand, you know, how deeply dark it got for you at one point.
Yeah.
So one thing that I know you've kind of said to me before when we've spoken about this, that you would like to give this book away to young girls maybe who maybe are pregnant, don't know whether they want to keep their child, don't know what to do. You would like this book to help others. How could people contact you if they really wanted to follow you, you know, take you up on that and spread the book around?
Well, my book's available on Amazon, and I'll have to look at, you know, maybe perhaps I'll, I know they have programs there where you can give it away, but I'm also available at info.lettinggoagain@gmail.com. You can write to me there, and we can discuss it. Or if you know people that might be helped by this, I'd really appreciate you letting me know, because I think that's a great idea.
Well, I think you should get out there and be talking to students in schools and at churches, New Thought churches, every place you can, Kim, because I think the world needs to hear your message. Thank you so much for joining us today, Kim. It really has been a pleasure to talk with you.
Oh, thank you, Sandy. I really, really appreciate it.
We'll talk again soon, I'm sure. Bye-bye, Kim.
Goodbye.
Letting Go Again is available on Amazon.com. And for more information about Kimberly Smythe, you can visit her website at lettinggoagain.com. And as she said, you can write to her at info@lettinggoagain.com. Next week, I'll be talking about spiritual parenting and unlocking the mystery of your child's unique spiritual essence with Dr. Connie Kaplan. If you're looking for more inspiring information on conscious parenting, visit inspiredparentingmagazine.com, where you'll find a wealth of free articles and details of our fully loaded subscription package. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer. Thanks for spending this time with me today, and I look forward to being with you again at the same time next week. Till then, it's goodbye from me.